The reporting and the resources behind the stories you hear on WSHU depends on the sustained energy of people who care, people like you. I'm All Things Considered host Randy Kay. Your investments in WSHU Public Radio help us face daily challenges and meet them effectively, providing important information and ideas. Thank you for listening and for your support.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut officials say they're committed to closing the digital divide. Water well testing will be expanded in Calverton amid ongoing concerns over PFAS. A plan to extend Amtrak to Suffolk takes another step forward. Plus, a new poll finds most young people suffer from eco-anxiety. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut officials say the state is committed to bridging the digital divide despite a $20 million cut in federal funding for affordable broadband and digital equity programs. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Doug Casey heads the Education and Technology Commission at the state's Department of Administrative Services. He says his commission will continue its work despite the loss of federal funding.
We are still extremely optimistic, regardless of the more than $30 million of cuts to the state of Connecticut. We hold promise and potential here with the work that we've mapped out.
Casey says that work includes a hotline that helps residents who are not online.
All of our partners from the corporate side, from philanthropies, community-based organizations, we are here to continue championing this work.
Earlier this month, state agencies were notified that their grants from the National Telecommunications and Information Administration were being terminated by the Trump administration. That would leave thousands of people who rely on their services to access the internet without assistance. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
A new round of groundwater testing near the contaminated Calverton site is underway. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports this time the test area is bigger.
The U.S. Navy has tested for harmful chemicals like PFAS and 1,4-dioxane in a one-mile radius around the former Grumman property. Now, the Suffolk County Health Department is testing private drinking water wells in a three-mile radius. Adrienne Esposito is with the Citizens Campaign for the Environment, and she sits on the Calverton Restoration Advisory Board.
The Health Department's groundwater investigation will let us know the depth, the length, and the width of groundwater contamination. That's exactly what we need to know so that we can plan for a substantive, comprehensive cleanup of our groundwater resources.
Suffolk County officials say they've identified over 150 private wells in the expanded testing area that might be contaminated. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
A Stanford middle school is turning an unused locker room into a free primary care clinic for students. WSHU's Sarah Anastasi reports they say it'll help students get quality health care even if they can't afford it.
The clinic is meant to help students who don't have access to a family doctor or whose families have little or no health insurance. Family Centers, Inc. will run the center. It's their ninth clinic in Stanford and Greenwich middle and high schools. The new clinic is scheduled to open at Turner River Middle School in September. School district leaders say students will be able to get primary care, mental health services, health education, even dental care, all at no cost. Dennis Torres is with Family Centers. He says it can be hard to get mental health care.
It sometimes can feel like a maze for parents if they've never had to deal with this mental health systems that exist. So we do what we can to take the mystery out of it, take any kind of barriers that might exist for people to access and provide it to them.
Physician assistants, nurse practitioners, dentists, licensed social workers, and mental health clinicians will be part of the staff. Torres says it'll be good for parents who may not have the leeway to leave work.
We have a hard time getting parents to come in during the day, take their kids to the doctor, you know, bring them back to school and go back to work. So the convenience of a health center for parents is really what helps.
They're able to diagnose, treat, and prescribe medications to students, unlike a regular nurse's office, which mainly manages medical records and can only give out medications that have already been prescribed with parental permission. Torres says they had over 4,000 visits at all their sites last year. Sarah Anastasi, WSHU News.
Nearly two-thirds of young adults suffer from some degree of eco-anxiety, and 70% are worried about climate change. That's according to a new poll. More on that is ahead.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
I'm Molly Ingram, and I cover Connecticut for WSHU Public Radio. Staying well informed is essential to a strong democracy. Understanding the facts and cutting through the noise takes work. At WSHU, our mission is to help you do just that with coverage from our newsroom, NPR, and the BBC. Your financial support makes it all possible. We're expanding our world together.
A plan to extend Amtrak train service to Suffolk and link it to the rest of the Northeast just took a step forward. Train service from Long Island to other cities along the East Coast has always required taking the LIRR to Penn, then transferring to an Amtrak train. But a plan to link Amtrak trains from Ronkonkoma to major cities like D.C. without changing trains just completed the first step of a three-phase study. The next steps involve figuring out the cost and feasibility. West Haven Public Schools will offer free meals throughout the summer. Anyone under 18 can get a free breakfast and lunch at various sites throughout the city, including West Haven High School, Painter Park, and Meadow Landing Apartments. A new affordable housing complex with 56 units just opened in New Haven yesterday. It also includes a playground, community center, and space for minority-owned businesses. Two-bedroom units begin at $2,500. The Federal Justice Department will investigate the New York State ban on Native American references in school mascots. The DOJ referral stems from a Long Island school district's decision to keep its mascot and name. Education Secretary Linda McMahon visited with the Massapequa Chiefs last month. Their mascot features a Native American wearing a headdress. McMahon says the ban violates federal anti-discrimination and civil rights laws. The state of Connecticut will get $64 million as its share of a nationwide opioid settlement with Purdue Pharma and its owners, the Sackler family. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports.
State Attorney General William Tong announced that he and attorneys general from all 50 states and five U.S. territories signed the $7.4 billion settlement. The Stamford, Connecticut-based pharmaceutical giant agreed to the settlement for their role in what Tong called creating and worsening the opioid crisis in the United States. The agreement ends the Sackler family's control of Purdue Pharma and their ability to sell opioids in the U.S. Connecticut first sued Purdue and the Sackler family in 2019. They accused the family of making massive profits while opioid addiction exploded. The money will be distributed over the next 15 years and will help people recover from opioid addiction. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
A recent national poll by the Sacred Heart University Institute for Sustainability and Social Justice found that nearly two-thirds of young adults suffer from some degree of eco-anxiety, and 70% are worried about climate change. That's an increase from a similar survey conducted last year. It also found that they overwhelmingly think that colleges and universities should teach about sustainability and social justice and teach the skills to take action. WSHU's Morning Edition host Ann Carrick spoke to two authors from the survey.
Joining us to discuss the survey are Kirk Bartholomew, Associate Professor of Biology at Sacred Heart University and Development Director at the Institute of Sustainability and Social Justice, along with Marilena Mantis-Coronis, Assistant Professor of Political Science and Global Affairs. Let's start with, how do you define eco-anxiety?
That question was specifically about climate change, and it was a follow-on from a question that we asked last summer. And we asked, how do they agree with the statement, I experience eco-anxiety? Parentheses after that comes, my level of concern for climate change causes psychological distress such that it impacts my daily life. That's a pretty strong statement. And when 55% of America's youth last summer said that, and that increased to 63% in this survey, that's pretty significant.
And this survey may not answer the question, but what is causing the anxiety or concern?
The survey does not answer that question, but the survey does ask at some point why they're motivated to take action on sustainability and social justice. We provided them with several possible reasons, and they identified personal experience and concern for future generations and community well-being as the top reasons that motivate them to take action on sustainability and social justice. To me, that suggests that youth have been personally affected by matters of sustainability and social justice, but perhaps more importantly, that they truly care about future generations and they care about community well-being. This goes against notions that our youth are self-centered, that our youth are indifferent, that they're apathetic.
You know, they care, they feel responsible, and they want to know how to act and want to know how to take action.
And they are looking to institutions of higher education to help them acquire the skills required to take action.
What is the role of higher education?
The poll suggests that youth are very much aware that they cannot trust information, whether that is coming from social media, whether that is coming from traditional media. What the poll communicates to us and to the general public is that there is an awareness of lack of trusted information. Youth primarily look to family and friends for sources of trusted information. That suggests, A, that they understand that we are at a challenging moment in terms of misinformation. The poll suggests that youth look to higher education to teach them inner capacities to address sustainability and social justice. So they're looking at universities to learn how to be, think, relate, and collaborate. Those are the capacities that they identified as important. That means that universities really could provide practical skills to address perhaps the challenge related to information and lack of trust in information.
Thank you, Kirk Bartholomew and Mary Lena Mantis Coronis from the Sacred Heart Institute of Sustainability and Social Justice. For a link to the full survey, go to wshu.org.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, listen on the radio at WSHU.org or with the new and improved WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. Please feel free to reach out with any thoughts or story ideas you might have. The best way to get in touch is by email, and it's news@WSHU.org. And make sure you're following us on Instagram. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll speak to you tomorrow.